Amen. Thankful for prayer in the presence of the Lord today. I do have a message on my heart this morning. Ask for your prayers as we try to be faithful to what the Lord has for us to say this morning. We're going to read a passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Mark in the New Testament. Encourage you to read along with us as we read. I want to give another reminder, as I do often, that if you don't have a copy of God's Word, that we would love to get you one. And so please take that seriously. If you don't have your own copy of God's Word, we really believe that and know that God's Word is breathed by God. And these are the words of the Lord, and they are so vitally important to not only hear on a Sunday morning, but to read daily and to allow it to minister to your heart and point you towards truth. And so if you don't have your own copy, please let us know that. We want to get you one. And I don't have any hesitation saying that today, so please do let us know. Read along with us, if you would, in Mark's Gospel, the 13th chapter, and the 32nd through the 37th verse. We're going to read the last portion of this chapter. The whole chapter has to do with end times and the second coming of Jesus. It'd be worthy of your study sometime if you had the time to do so. We're just going to read a portion of it and share a few brief points today about a subject that is very sensationalized. There's different opinions, there's different thoughts. People have taken it and really blown it out of proportion. They've sold a lot of books and made a lot of movies concerning these things. And a lot of the things that we believe about Christ's second coming have come from, false sources, and they've really created this narrative in our head that's untrue. And so we're not going to get too deep into all of it today, but we are going to share a few very basic truths that God makes very clear in His Word that if we understood and we believed would really clear up a lot of the confusion and help us to navigate this world of false ideas and thoughts that are around Christ's coming. Let's just read verses 32 through 37. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And we'll stop our reading there. We titled our sermon this morning, No One Knows. No One Knows. I think we can clearly see that that is the main emphasis of this last portion of Scripture that we read, was that no one knows. And so we'll talk just and share a few points on that, but I'd like to pray first, if you'd bow with me. God, we thank you, and we come to you today thanking you and praising you for all that you are and all that you've done. We thank you for your word. We ask that at this time you'd bless the reading of it, that you'd teach us, help us to grow closer to you. If there are any lost here today, I pray, Lord, that you would point them towards your Son, Jesus, as the only way. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes unto the Father but by him. And so I pray today, God, that those that are here might be drawn closer to you and that you might be glorified and lifted up. Help us to understand these truths, the main things and the plain things, dear Lord, and help them to dispel some of the false narrative that we hear on a daily basis. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So again, this whole section of Scripture would really, if we were really doing a topical study on the second coming of Christ, we would need to read it in its entirety, spend some time digging into a lot of the things that are said here. That's not the goal today, to do an exhaustive study of the second coming of Christ, although I think it would be a good one. But today, just to point out some simple truths that I think if we truly understand and believe will help us to understand again the false narratives that are out there, but also if we truly believe it, it would change the way that we lived and approached our day-to-day lives, the decisions that we make and the things that come our way. The first truth, and I think the main truth of this section of Scripture, is that no one knows the day or hour of the coming of Jesus. Of all of the truths about the second coming of Christ, I think the Bible makes that more clear than anything, that nobody knows when Jesus is coming. And I say that very plainly and boldly because the Bible says it plainly and boldly, yet how many people think they know when Jesus is coming, right? How many religious leaders and how many people that think and say that they know the Scriptures and they read all the time? You can watch the 700 Club and you can watch religious leaders all over the world for many centuries, and so many of them have claimed to know the time or the date when Jesus would come. And you just want to say, have you ever read the Bible? I don't say that in any arrogance because, trust me, I know very little and wiser men than me have made these claims. But I do know that very plainly and clearly that Jesus has said over and over again that nobody knows the day or hour in which the Lord will come. That simple truth will clear up a whole lot of the nonsense that is out in the world today. People, again, have sold millions of books and created movies. Cults and religious leaders all over the world have come up with all of these ideas and all of these followings, and people have flocked on the basis that they knew something that no one else knew. They knew when Christ was coming. They knew when the end times would be here, and people have flocked to those things. Maybe it's because we're not comfortable with not knowing things. Sometimes we just want to know so that if someone comes up with some idea that sounds even somewhat intelligent, that we will follow after that or sheep will follow. Maybe that is what it is, but the reality is that nobody knows. The verse 32, it says, "But of that day and that hour knoweth no man." I don't know how more universally stated that could be, right? No man knows. So if there is any man, any pastor, any religious leader, no matter what title they may have or what position they may hold within a church or a denomination or in the world, the reality is if they claim to know when Christ is coming back, Jesus says they don't, right? They don't know. I don't know. You don't know. And so when you study the Bible and you read through Revelations and you dig into Matthew 24 and 5 and Mark 13, and at the end you still don't know when Jesus is coming, you came to the right conclusion, right? We don't know, and we're not supposed to. And that's what Jesus is saying. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. If that didn't make it clear enough, he continues. He says, not the angels which are in heaven. Okay, so not man does not know. And he goes on even farther and says, the angels of heaven do not know. Okay? So we don't have to feel bad of our ignorance. Our ignorance is expected, and we don't know, the angels don't know. And again, if that wasn't clear enough, and this one's hard to wrap our head around a little bit, he says, neither the Son, but the Father. So Jesus says that he doesn't know when the second coming is. Now, again, if you know Jesus and you study your Bible, you know that he is divine. He is omniscient. He knows all things. So if a studious person would read this and they know Jesus Christ and his character, it's a hard thing to take in. Now listen, this does not diminish the divinity of Jesus Christ one bit. He does not give up his divinity, but he submits himself to this truth. By his own power and choice, he has submitted this unto the Father, that the Father alone knows the time to come. Jesus has willingly not known these things. So again, it's crazy. I mean, I don't like to call people out like that because, I know very little and all of those things. But when you read this, it is absolutely nuts for someone to be able to claim that they know when Jesus is going to return. He says, of the day and the hour, no man knows. No, not the angels which are heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So Jesus, though he is co-eternal and though he is co-equal with God, he does not even know the day or hour that he will come, but that is with the Father alone. He has submitted that to the Father. So no one knows. Again, you can look on Wikipedia. I know it's not the most trustworthy of sources, but they will list the times when people have claimed that the end of the world would come. And I think I counted over 180 different ones that Wikipedia recorded of religious people or leaders or personalities in the world, philosophers, that have claimed to know the end times and the last day that will happen. And they make bold predictions about the exact date and time and hour that it will come. Even in my lifetime, there has been many hundreds of people that have said that. Again, the one that's biggest to me was the Mayan calendar ending in 2012. That was a big deal because it was my first year as a high school teacher, and I remember the high school kids just getting excited, saying, "Oh, it's the end of the world, it's the end of the world." And I've told you the story about the day I walked in, December 21st, 2012, and my student looked at me and said, "Are you ready for the world to end, Mr. Elliott?" And I said, "You know what, I absolutely am." And it was one of those moments that you weren't prepared for, but the Holy Spirit was there with you. And you didn't care about your job security, and you didn't care where you were, but you saw a young person looking at you and asking you about if you were ready to die. And I said, "Young man, I am, because I know Christ, because I'm secure in Him. And this world is going to end, whether today or down the road, it's going to come to an end. And you know what? On that day, I am ready to go." I am thankful today that I can know that. That it's not just a hope or a wish or a whim, that when my life ends or when this world ends, that I hope that I go on to be in heaven with God. I know that, and the Bible teaches us that we may know these things. You can have an assurance, not because of any of your own self-arrogance or your own self-trust, but you can know by the Spirit of God that can enlighten your mind and your heart to know that you are right with Him. And as a 10-year-old boy on the fifth pew back at North Star Missionary Baptist Church in Eagle River, Alaska, that is very insignificant to the world, but on that pew as I knelt there, God did something in me that was eternal. And when this world ends and when my life ends, I am trusting and I believe wholeheartedly that what God did for me in that place at that time will send me on to be with Him in heaven. And for eternity, I will be in His presence. I hope that you have a time like that, and that if someone asks you, "Are you ready to die?" You know, it's not like I have a morbid wish to die, okay? I mean, some people may say those things. That's nuts too, if you ask me, right? I like my life. I'm thankful for my family, and I look forward and pray that if God allows my life to go on, to be able to father my children, to be faithful to my wife, to be a good example to those people that have been put in my life, to serve Him through faith, because one day my faith will end in sight, and I have a short window of opportunity to serve God by faith and to glorify Him by making a choice within my heart to pursue what is good and right in His name and to tell people about Jesus Christ. And I pray that for all of us that are believers, that we take this short window of opportunity that we have, and we serve the Lord in faith. And praise be unto God, one day we will lay down this fight, and we will rest with Him, and our faith will end in sight, and forever we will be able to praise Him with perfection. But today, we have a great opportunity to serve Him through faith. Nobody knows the day or the hour. Hundreds upon hundreds of people have claimed to know that day, and Jesus says, they don't. Right? Such a simple truth that's so plainly declared, not only here in Mark, but all over the New Testament, that nobody knows. Like a thief in the night will come, no one knows. Secondly, His coming will not be missed. Okay? Jesus is not going to sneak in one night unaware to those around. Okay? It doesn't happen over a long period of time where, at one point you'll realize, "Oh, hey, this is it. He's come back and now I realize it." The Bible says that it will be a moment that no one will miss, okay? And one of the implications of what He says here is that it's not just at a time period. He says the day and hour no one knows. And if you look down at verse 35, He says, "Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the when the cock crow or in the morning." It's a moment of time. And it is a moment of time that no matter what nation you live in or what tongue that you speak or who you may be, you will know when Christ returns. In 1 Thessalonians, he talks about this. Let me see if I can find my place here. I didn't mark it. Apologize. Bear with me. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Listen, there will be no one that can claim ignorance the day that Jesus returns. It will be an event. It will be at a time and a moment when everyone will know that this is it. The Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that today. Now, if you look around the world today and you said, is everyone bowing their knee to the Lord and saying, "You are Christ is Lord, he is King, he is Savior," and you would say, no, actually the majority of the world doesn't bow their knee and claim that Jesus is Lord and that he is Savior. But there is coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, because they will know in that moment, whether they believed him in this time or not, they will know in that moment that he is Lord, and he will make it known, and we will know. And every knee will bow to him and every tongue will confess. But the reality is, if we don't confess him in time, it won't matter then. When the Lord returns, the door is closed. And so there won't be opportunity once Christ returns and calls this thing to an end to then put your faith in him. People will confess and cry out that he is Lord, but it'll be too late in that time. Jesus said, talked about that if we confess him here, he will confess us before the angels of God in heaven. But if we deny him here, he will deny us before the angels of God in heaven. What he's talking about is what happens in time determines what happens in eternity. Okay? We're not going to die and go to a place of purgatory or unknown, and then hopefully people pray hard enough to get us to go to heaven. That is not a biblical thought at all. The reality is what happens in time, in this body, in our flesh, in our life, what we do with God now will affect what happens to us when we die and go on to eternity. And if you don't have a time and place in your life where you've confessed your sin before God and trusted in him with all of your life and all of your eternity, then you will be denied by Christ before the angels of God in heaven. So now is the time. There's an urgency to it because now matters. And so we got to consider that. His coming will not be missed. It's in a moment. It's not in a time period over a long period of time. It will be in a moment. There will be a shout. There will be a trumpet. It will be known. He will split the sky and the world will know that the Lord has returned. Thirdly, Jesus wants us to be prepared for that day, right? Isn't that why he's telling us this? He wants people to be prepared. Did you hear what he said? He said, he talks about not knowing. He says, take ye heed, watch, pray, for you don't know when the time is, okay? So not knowing the time or being ignorant of his coming does not give us an excuse to not be prepared for when he does, right? It's actually the opposite point that Jesus is making. He's saying our ignorance of this fact should make us more ready, more prepared. We should want to know, be more prepared for his coming. And so the ignorance doesn't give us an excuse. He says, take heed, watch and pray, for you don't know when he comes. Again, verse 35, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. He's talking about people going to sleep, all right? The words mean to stay awake, to be ready, to be on guard. So we don't know that he's coming, but we need to be prepared for when he does. In Matthew chapter 25, there's a parable that Jesus tells about 10 virgins. I want to read that. It says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. I know this is a little foreign to us because it's not talking about a marriage that happens in our culture. It's talking about a marriage that happens in the Middle East. And so the people that would have been reading it in the day and age that it was written would understand this. So don't be distracted by the fact that this marriage is not familiar to the ones we're familiar with. This is a very common practice. So he's talking about the virgins waiting to escort the bridegroom to the wedding. This would have been a very normal thing in their day and age. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, They all slumbered and slept. Okay, that's important. So it's a picture. Okay, this is a story. It's a parable that Jesus told to describe something that was real. So this is a story to get us to understand a truth. And so he says the bridegroom tarried or waited. There was a waiting time or period where the bridegroom went away and those that were waiting for him slept and slumbered. And it says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know ye not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. And so he talks about a lot of similar truths about that the bridegroom has gone away. He's talking about Jesus has gone away, right? We know that he was in his incarnation. He was born into the world. All right, he lived, he was crucified, he was put in a tomb, and he resurrected after 3 days, and then he ascended into heaven. And the last thing that is left to be done for Jesus is to come again and call this thing to an end. Okay, and so you ask if we are living in the last days, right? That's a common question that's asked by many people in religious circles. The Bible says absolutely we are living in the last days. The last days came when Jesus Christ came, okay? And so since Christ has been his incarnation has taken place, his resurrection or his crucifixion and his resurrection and ascension, the last thing we are waiting for is his return. Now, people want to know what are the last days of the last days, because the last days have been going on for a long time. And the bridegroom tarrieth, but he will return. And the day and hour of his return, we do not know, but we've got to be ready for it to come. There was 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish ones. And the 5 had their lamps and they had oil. And the other 5 did not have oil. And when the bridegroom came, the foolish virgin said, please give us of your oil so that we could put them in our lamps. You see the picture he's trying to make here. And they said, no, we can't do that. If we gave to you, we would not have enough for ourselves. 5 of them were prepared for when the bridegroom came to get them. 5 of them were unprepared. And in that moment of his return, they cried to the ones that were prepared and said, share with us your oil. Listen, on the day the Lord returns, you will not be able to share the faith of those around about you, okay? You can't claim when the Lord returns that my father was saved or my mother was saved or I've been with these people or I've been attending this church. You cannot share the salvation of others. Salvation is a personal experience that takes place with you and God. And when you go to face God, either through death or his second coming, you can only be prepared in your own heart. You can't depend on someone else. I think we know that to be true, but sometimes people think that they receive faith through osmosis, like simply being next to someone that has faith in God is going to be faith for yourself. The question is today, not if your mother and father believes in God, not if your mother and father have been saved, or someone around you, it is whether you know God. It's whether you have a time and place where the oil has been applied in your lamp, where you have been made right with God, and you are prepared to meet him. You can't share the faith of others. When he returned, the 5 that had the oil went in with the bridegroom to the marriage, and it says the door was shut. And the 5 that were unprepared went and tried to buy oil, and they came back, and they said, Lord, Lord, open up unto us. But he said, I don't know you. I can't think of anything in Scripture that is more disheartening or more hard to hear than to consider that there will be those in that day that will cry out, Lord, Lord, let us in. And he will say, I never knew you. Listen, do you know why the Lord hasn't returned already? Because he is merciful. Because he is patient. because he is good. In 1 Peter, it says that he has not returned because of salvation, because he is giving you an opportunity to know him. He's given his son, Jesus Christ, to die for your sins and to pay the penalty of sin on your behalf. And now all he says is, come to me. Come unto me. Salvation is a free gift of God. Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Right? Why do you go and spend your time and energy on all of these things that cannot fulfill the longing of your soul? And the Lord has done all that is necessary and stands and calls to you today. Come unto me. And yet, Satan puts that word in your head. Maybe tomorrow, maybe another time. I'll get to that. The reality is, don't be like the five foolish virgins. When the bridegroom comes and they say, give us some of yours. And they say, we can't. And they say, Lord, let us in. And he says, the door's shut. It's too late. Jesus wants us to be prepared for that day. That is why he continually spoke of it in his ministry and as we read today. He wants us to be prepared. Watch and pray. Be ready. Stay awake. That's what he's saying. He's saying, stay awake. Fourthly, not knowing the day should be an incentive to be engaged in the Lord's work. Okay? Not knowing the day or time of the return of Jesus to those who are believers in his children should be an incentive for us to do a work for God. Should. All right, listen to what he says. He says, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work and commanded the porter to watch. You know, some people say, well, since we don't know when Jesus is coming, why? Who cares what we do, right? He's going to come back one day, and who cares? So they either live completely agitated or at fear or anxious, and they're always worried about when he's going to return or this, that, or the other. And some people are just like, oh, I don't care. It doesn't matter. We don't know, so let's do whatever we want. No, the idea is that Jesus has gone away, and he has given authority unto his children. He's given authority unto his church that his children would do the work of God while he tarries. He has given us a work to do. You hear what he said there? And to every man his work. God has given you a work that he's not given me. He gives his children work to do that is individual and that is specifically for them. And he's given you an opportunity in the circle of influence that you have to make an impact for Christ and his kingdom. And we have this short window of opportunity, whether he returns or we go on to meet him in death, we have a window of opportunity to use our gifts that God has given us for his glory and honor and to reach others for Jesus Christ. The man has gone away. He's given authority unto his disciples. And he says, and he's given a work to every man. Do the work, right? The fact that we don't know when he's coming back should incentivize us and encourage us and make us excited to be every day doing a work for God. So listen, do we live like it's our last day? I say absolutely we should live like it's our last day. Should we live like there's 100 more years to come after this? Absolutely, we should live like there's 100 more years to come after this. And you say, what do you mean? You just contradicted yourself. No, the reality is that we don't know the day or hour, so we should live like it's the last day, like this is the last opportunity that we have to reach people for Christ, because it may very well be that, okay? And listen, I'm not using some sort of scare tactic or trying to stir up some sort of emotion inside of you. The reality is we don't know, and the eternal matters of eternal significance are on the line, and we should live like it's our last day, doing a work for God, telling others about Jesus Christ, taking every opportunity to give a reason for the hope that lies within us. But does that mean we don't plan and think about the future? No. We should live like there's 100 years to go. We should plan. We don't know the time. We don't know if it's today or if it's for another thousands of more years. I honestly do not know, and I do not claim to know. So I plan for the future. I worry about what happens tomorrow, right? I shouldn't say worry. We're not so worried about tomorrow, but I plan for tomorrow. I make preparations for tomorrow. I think as a church, and I try to be strategic about how as a church over the next few years we can reach out to our community and reach people. What do we need to do? How can we help people? So we think and we plan like there's time to go, but we live every day like it's our last. I think both of those things are very biblical in what the Lord is telling us. Not knowing the day should be an incentive to be engaged in the Lord's work, to be excited about it, and to work for him. In Matthew 24, he said this, therefore be ye also ready, for in such is the hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. man, if someone still doesn't think the Bible teaches that, we don't know. I mean, everything says that. Listen, who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Jesus said, blessed is the man that will be found doing the work in which he has been placed in when he returns. Listen, when Jesus Christ comes back, I want him to find me faithfully serving him with all of my heart. I am not a perfect servant. I cannot stand before you and say that I've not that I've lived a perfect life and that I don't have a lot of sin and I don't mess up. I do all of those things. But my heart desperately wants the Lord to find me at work in his kingdom when he returns. I want him to find me serving him and telling others about him. I want to live like every day is my last in his kingdom and that people, his life is on the line, and I want to plan like there's 100 more years and I want to do a work for God, but I want to be found doing his work. God doesn't need me. You know, that sounds bad, but it's true. God's eternally powerful. He's all-powerful, all-knowing. He can do all things, and he doesn't need me. He doesn't need you, but that is what he has set up. That we would be human instruments for the glory of God. That he gives us a personal responsibility and a personal work. That we are to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and give it out to the world to show others about the hope that they have in Christ. And listen, praise be unto God. That humbles me to know that I am unworthy of those things and that God does not need me. Yet God has called me to be his workman in his field. He has called me to that. And praise be unto God that I have that privilege to be able to serve him. And when he returns, I want him to find me working in the responsibilities that he has given to my life, doing the work which he has called me to do. I pray that we would be incentivized, encouraged to be engaged in the Lord's work. Lastly, and I'll be done, the day of the Lord's returning is certain. It's certain. Okay, so yes, we don't know the day or hour. That has been made clear to us. But not knowing the day or hour does not diminish from the reality that that day is a certainty. Okay, Jesus Christ is coming back. He's coming back. And the first time he came as a servant, the Bible says. Philippians chapter 2, it says that he emptied himself and he came in the form of a servant. Here's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, full deity within his body. And yet he was willing to empty himself to come into the form of a servant. And he was despised and rejected of men. And ultimately, he was crucified and he was hung upon a cross to die. And he came to do that and willingly gave himself as a servant in our behalf, as a substitute for us. And yet when he comes again, it's not coming as a servant. When Jesus returns, he's going to come as a judge. And he's going to sit and he's going to judge the world. And the wicked will be separated from the righteous and he will be the ultimate judge on that day. Are you going to be prepared for it? Are you going to be found sleeping? Without oil in your lamp? Or are you going to, on that day, look with anticipation, knowing that your Savior is coming to take you home to be with him? That where he is, we may be also. The believer can look forward to that day, as awful of a day as it is, when this world will be destroyed, we can know that we are safe and secure in the ark of safety in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd be prepared. Jesus has been merciful, and he has given us this time. And though I am ready for death, I am also excited for the privilege that I have to do a work for the Lord and to tell you today about Jesus Christ and the salvation that you can have in him. That you don't have to fear death. Yeah, the unknown is scary at times, even to the believer, but the reality is that, lo, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And whether the world may end tomorrow, or the world may not end in my lifetime, or whether my life may end today, or it may end in another 100 years, I know that I am secure and safe in the hands of the Lord. And it's good to know that I'm prepared to meet him. And in this window of opportunity, may we give our heart to serving him and doing the work which he has assigned to us. Let's have a song and consider God's word today. It is both a warning and an encouragement, but it is a call to all of us to consider the time that we have and whether we're prepared for the coming of the Lord. God bless you. Let's have a song if we could. Consider these things as we stand and sing and respond to the Lord appropriately as He would call your heart. If you need to pray today, I encourage you to do just that. We have a mourner's bench up here. It has no virtue. The wood on this bench is no different than the wood on the benches back there or the wood that's at your workplace or your school or wherever. It's just a place, but it's a very convenient place to pray. It's a step in showing that you want the Lord and that this church will gather around you. We will pray with you, but at the end of the day, it is not our prayers that will save you or change you. It is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. And if you feel the need to pray, we invite you to pray here. If you're not comfortable with that, we ask you to pray in your seat. Pray in the fellowship hall. The place isn't really that important. The important thing is that Jesus Christ is the one that you're praying to. So seek Him out today if you're lost. If you're saved and you need to pray, I encourage you to do that as well. God bless you.